Hey guys, John Lee Dumas here, founder and host of EO Fire, and you're listening to Bravepreneur Parents Academy with Balaji O.
Welcome to Bravepreneur Parents Academy, where the world's most inspiring entrepreneurs reveal their most defining childhood moments and share their legacy for raising brave little heroes who will grow up to change the world. And now, he still reads comic books under the blanket at bedtime. Please welcome your host, best-selling author, award-winning speaker, and self-confessed geek dad, Balaji O.
You know, like the hotel in Vegas? Yeah, no, that's really his name.
Balaji O.
All right, Bravepreneurs, if you're looking for the mom who has it all together and will teach you the six easy steps for $4.99 so you can get it together, maybe my guest isn't going to help you. But if you do want to meet a mom who's been in the trenches for the past 19 years changing diapers, cooking meals, making mistakes, and still has a smile on her face, I can attest to that. Stay tuned. This mom of seven, that's right, you heard me, seven. One boy, six girls, that poor boy. But this mom believes that life as a mom is a wild adventure and worth every gray hair. She and her husband have built an amazing empire, real estate empire, that retired him from his corporate job, and today she travels around the country mentoring moms. She is helping them rise above the noise and live from a place of their God-given purpose. This is an amazing mission. This is an amazing mother. Please help me welcome Susan C. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you. What an amazing introduction. My goodness, I want that recorded so I can play that every morning.
Are you kidding me? I need to stand up and applaud. Seven kids, one boy, six girls. I have to ask, where in the child order, where in the pecking order does your son fit?
Oh, he's in the best place. He came first.
He came first.
He did. Can you imagine if he didn't? Imagine what that would be like.
Yeah, that would be pretty rough. Yes. Well, this is amazing, though. What did you come from a big family yourself?
No, I'm the youngest of three. My husband, oldest of two, and then he's got a sister and a brother that came afterwards. But yeah, no. We said when we got married, he said, I want one children, maybe two. I said, you're safe with me because the most I would ever want is three. And then something happened, man. I mean, they just were so cute, and I just fell in love with the whole process. And I kept finding myself saying, just one more.
Oh, my gosh.
One more.
I mean, I've talked about rounding up. One or two to seven?
That's crazy math, right?
Susan. Okay, now, here's what I need to understand, okay? Because a lot of us have two kids or three kids, or maybe if you have four kids, but even the ones with one child, we're all going crazy with the busyness. Mm-hmm. There's the job, there's the entrepreneur venture, there's the children's schedule, there's volunteering at school, there's how are you doing it?
Come on. I tell you what, I feel so in line with the purpose for my life that it's all normal, right? Like, just before this interview, my son, who's 19 now, his car broke down. He usually drives he and his sister to their college classes. So daughter calls. She needs me to pick her up. It's just part of what you do. You go get her. You run by the bank since it's right there. You come back. You do the interview. You just take everything in stride. I used to take things personally. Like, I thought surely these kids' needs were just coming at wrong times for my schedule and my to-do list. And I made it personal, like they were trying to do something against me. But now I just see it's all a part of life. And I get to flow and ebb with them, and they get to flow and ebb with me. And then we get to work through all of our personalities and preferences in the middle of that.
Hmm. Oh no, Susan. That sounds good, but my kids are conspiring against me. I'm convinced about that. Maybe your children, you know, are from some other planet or something. But there's something at the core of your whole family system. There's got to be something that makes the whole system work. How do you get all your kids bought in? I mean, even with two kids, I'm actually fortunate. My wife and I are fortunate. Our sons generally get together, but if you keep them in the same room long enough. There's an expiration date. They just start driving each other crazy. So how with seven kids, what's the system? What's the value system that keeps everything working?
Man, at the center of everything we do, our family is keen on being intentional. We want to be on purpose about what we're doing so that what we're doing at the end of the day, we can say we did the stuff that matters. We may not have gotten everything done, but we surely did what matters. And for our kids, there's just certain things that we have in place. Like, it's just not okay for the teasing and the bickering and the things that we would quote unquote call normal between siblings, like the name calling or the sarcasm and all that. We go, no, that's not normal conversation. That's actually conversation that creates a disconnect. And we're all about creating connection. How can we come closer together? Because we'll naturally drift apart. We'll naturally build in walls between one another. How can we create a connection?
Right. You know, I love that word, intention, living intentionally. It's not something that I grew up being aware of, even as an adult, for probably much of my adult life. I wouldn't say that I lived intentionally. Things happened.
Yeah.
I reacted to them.
You
know, I went to college. I got a good job. You know, I pretty much just took the first good job that was presented to me. I didn't think, is this the path that I want to go in? They were paying me good money, Susan.
Yes.
So I took it.
Yes.
some things I got right. I was very intentional about the beautiful woman that I married.
Oh,
and
good job.
If I don't do anything else right, I got that right, Susan. But tell me about parents who they hear this word intentional, and it sounds good, but how do we put that into practice?
Mm-hmm. I say that you do two things. You've got the long range view of where do you ultimately want for your family? What do you want for your children when you graduate them from high school and you're sending them off to college or they're finishing college and you're sending them off into life? What do you want for them to know is true and real in this world? What do you want them to know about themselves? And then you can step back and say, what will it take to create that? What will it take for that dream, that vision to come true? But then also take that closer view, that day to day, like today, in this moment, what does it take for me to be intentional right now? So that we can be in the room with our children. Tell me if this ever happens to you. You're in the room with your family, but you're not with your family. Like, your mind is off on five different other things and you're physically present, but mentally you're not there. And they could
Why are you calling me out? Why are we getting personal here, Susan?
Because we're friends. We're close like that, me and you.
I don't know about that. You're putting all my business out there, Susan.
So it's those moments when we can find ourselves, our kids are talking to us and they're telling us a story or they're telling us about what happened during the day. And we're nodding and we're, yeah. But we didn't catch a word they just said. And in that moment, that's when we can say, what can I do to be intentional about my relationship with my child right now? Does that mean I need to put my phone down? Does that mean I need to put my tablet down? How can I physically turn my body and face them and take in what they're saying? Those are intentional things that we can do that really help us to be in the moment, fully present and on purpose with our children.
See, this isn't even fair, because now you're not only talking about my bad habits with my kids, you're talking about my bad habits with my wife. I mean, just being totally transparent here. Sometimes I'm at the computer. It's the end of the workday. Now, if this was during the workday, you know, in fairness, I could expect my wife to know that I'm working. Mm-hmm. But it's 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. The kids are down. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to sneak in a little bit more work, and my wife is sharing something about her day.
Yes.
And what am I doing? Exactly what you just said. My body is facing the laptop. Mm-hmm. I'm half looking at her, half looking at the laptop, trying to type. Mm-hmm. It's just not working. And I know it's not wrong, but it's a habit.
Truly. Okay, so let me give you a couple of tips that I share all the time. Okay, here's one. When you have been away from your family members and you all come back together, the most critical time you have together is those first 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
Have you ever had those times where the kids breathe in? Hey, how was your day? Good, fine. You know, some one word answer. Yeah. They breathe right on past you. A week later, you hear them telling a friend or a neighbor about something that happened and you think, I never heard that. What happened?
Yes.
It's that critical first 5-10 minutes. So if you're picking them up in the car from a friend's house, make sure when they get in the car that first 5-10 minutes is total focus on them. That's all it takes. Because if they know they have that open window, here it comes. Like, here come the stories. But if they feel like, well, the music is playing or you're listening to a podcast, hopefully you're listening to this one, and you got all kinds of other stuff going on, those moments pass and they just kind of internalize those stories and they let them out much later. And so really capture those first 5-10 minutes. When I hear my husband coming through the door, I'm trying to do my best to ensure that I'm there, because that's when he's still flowing with information. If I wait, it's like he clams up like a tight shell, and then that moment's gone and I'm like, I'm out of it, man. Oh, dang it. I missed my moment. But here's the other part. You're talking about at the end of the day, you're trying to get just one or two more things done so that you can say, hey, I checked them off my list for today. Here's what you do. You look at your wife and you say, hey, I want to get just a couple things more done. I'm going to set a timer on my phone. It's going to take me 15 minutes. I'm going to focus in on that. And then if you'll be ready, I want to hear about your day. Can we do that? Now, if she knows that it's just 15 minutes, she can hang. But if she just sees, well, he's always got the laptop on, she's just going to go for it. She's like, I'm just going to talk over that thing.
Right.
And you'll just have to try to catch this, because I'm going to just pour out on you. But if you can be intentional in that moment and say, I'm going to intentionally just focus on this for 15 minutes and then I'm shutting the laptop down. Then you just set the tone for her to know it's 15 more minutes and then I can count on him to be finished.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Okay, so I love the tip with the spouses. You know I'm going to be using that.
Yes.
I'm going to put that into practice. Let me ask about the kids, the picking up the kids, the first 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
So one of the challenges – I'll tell you about my 8-year-old, okay, and probably 5 years from now when he starts listening to this podcast, he'll probably need therapy because I'm always using him as my example. But it's good. It's a good thing. So sometimes when – I pick him up, or through carpool, he gets dropped off at home. Those first 5 minutes, he's giving me the one-word answers. How was school? Fine. How was recess? Good. What did you do today? Soccer. Okay. But get this. At bedtime, when we're tucking him in, and when he knows mom and dad are looking at that clock, like it's 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. is their bedtime. Okay, it's 8:01.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say prayers. Go to sleep.
Yeah.
Why does he want to tell us every minute of everything that happened for the whole day? And we're like, look, buddy, we kind of know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to stay up a little bit longer, but at the same time, he's actually sharing. What should we do in that situation, Susan?
Oh, I love this question. Because when I hear parents ask me questions like that, like, what do you think we should do? You know what I believe? You already know.
I knew you were going to say I knew it.
You already know. Now, honestly, from your heart, not from your fear, from a place of abundance and true love for him, what do you think is the right thing to do in that?
Gotta let him talk. Gotta let him talk.
Boom. Come on.
I mean, that extra 5 or 10 minutes of sleep in the grass thing, he's sharing. That he gets vulnerable and just you really hear the good stuff. Because I guess he tells himself, if I have any chance of staying up an extra 10 minutes, I gotta give him the good stuff.
Yes. And if he's willing to go there and be there with you, why not be intentional in that moment and say it's all about him? Right now, this is your time, buddy. If you need that 30 minutes, if you need that 40 minutes, because what are you doing to him in that moment? You're telling him there's nothing more important in my life right now than what you have to share with me.
Mm-mm-mm.
Man. So when you think about your long-term vision of what you want for your family, that will never be a moment you'll regret.
You're right, Susan. This is really good. So, Susan, you were sharing with me earlier a pretty unique sort of event that you sometimes have with mom. I know you do a lot of mom mentoring, and all of us parents need mentoring or support. I will say that moms are often unappreciated in how much they do. I've only learned that in the fact that sometimes I catch myself underappreciating my wife. Okay, so no disrespect to us dads. Us dads, you know, we put in the effort, but moms do a lot of invisible stuff that never gets seen.
That's true.
So
for years in our marriage, one of my buttons that my hubby could push that would just send me into all kinds of emotion, some very outward emotion, some very inward emotion, is the second I felt like he was pushing on the button of taking me for granted. So I could work harder than probably three people put together as long as I felt appreciated and loved. But the second I felt like, oh, you guys will just assume that I'll take care of this. You could just assume I'll handle it. Oh, that would just kind of kick in the gut. And it was like, oh, no, that's not okay. But what I have created now, as I go around the country and I'm mentoring moms, I've created what I call home inspirational parties or nights of encouragement for moms. And just like women will get together and they'll have Mary Kay parties and they'll talk about makeup, or they'll do some kind of company where they do jewelry parties in people's homes, I said, why don't we get together and just have a night of encouragement for women? And I come in and do a workshop that's called the Mom Guilt Cure. And we get to come in and we get to have honest, real conversation about what we're feeling guilty about. And then I get to share practical tools and instruction for them to break out of that guilt the next time it tries to jump on them. And then we get to have time where I pull one mom from the group. I have a one-on-one mentoring session right there in front of everyone else. And we get to have this moment where that mom feels heard. Sometimes for the first time, she truly feels heard. And feels like her voice matters, and she gets the help she needs in that moment, and she leaves better when that party is over. Is that fun? Doesn't that sound amazing?
Wow. How is this not already happening in every neighborhood? How is that not happening?
That is my goal, is that I would connect with more women who want to see that happening, who are willing to go through the training to be a mentor for moms so that they too can reach out to other women. And it just creates that ripple effect, you know, when you throw the rock in the water and the ripples just flow out. That I'm stepping out as that first rock in the pond saying, I'm willing to go out here and create this ripple effect where more and more moms are just rising above the noise and the distraction that hits them day to day. And they're focusing in on their purpose and living intentionally with their families.
Okay, there are a couple of things you talked about that you mentioned I want to get into. One is the term mom guilt. I want to unpack that a little bit. And then the second, the follow-up is going to be this whole concept of being feeling underappreciated, what we can do about that. Let's talk about mom guilt first. Why don't we talk about dad guilt as often as we talk about mom guilt? What is mom guilt?
Oh, my goodness. Mom guilt is that feeling of I'm never doing enough. I could never do enough, which ultimately leads to the fear of, am I enough and am I capable? Can I handle this? And it just feeds on itself. So we live here in Texas. It gets 3,000 degrees in the summertime, right? Like you take the kids to the park. You get to the park. You forgot the water bottles. You had them all packed, but you left them on the counter. The kids are running around. They're thirsty. You don't have water. And one of the kids is now sunburned because you forgot the sunscreen, you know? And it does not become just this fact. Oh, we forgot the water and the sunscreen. No, as moms, it becomes something about us. Oh, if I was a good mom, I would have had the sunscreen already. If I could have done this, then we would have had the water and the kids wouldn't have been dehydrated and getting headaches. And we internalize that whole experience versus allowing it to be something that's separate from us that we just walked into. think my husband would just say, oh, I forgot the water bottles. And he'd move on with the whole situation. But no, for me, it's something about me. I didn't love them enough, or I wasn't paying enough attention, and I wasn't good enough to just have even a simple park day. I couldn't even handle that. And, you know, I go into my whole negative thought spiral on that thing.
Wow, fascinating. And so, I mean, you know, we're kind of laughing, but you know better than anyone how real this is for so many moms. If there's a mom who falls into that manner of thinking sometimes, how can she get herself out of that?
So you have a lot of entrepreneurs who are listening to your show.
Right.
And if you've seen the statistics on women who are stepping out in business, and they're doing it in a big way. And I'm so proud to see that happening. I think it's an amazing time in which we live. So here we are, women stepping into business and women still having life and family and kids and husband. And they're caught in this tension, and this squeeze is happening where they want to focus on business, but life is screaming and calling out at them. And they have these roles that they're trying to play at the same time. And they're saying, can I do this? Is this possible? And I believe that that's where mentorship and the work that I do comes in, because I come in underneath them as they're standing in that gap, feeling the squeeze. And I put support underneath their feet, and I start lifting them up. And I start saying, it's one step at a time. Your success is as you define it. Nobody's timetable matters more than the one you've set. You're not in a race against anyone but yourself. There's no competition against you. It's you playing this game against yourself. Do better than your yesterday you. You can make this happen. It's possible. Because you forgot that dance recital, that says nothing about the love you have for your children. Keep going. Yes, the kids are sick. Find a solution for that, but you keep going, and you keep lifting her up and lifting her up so that she doesn't feel the squeeze. She feels the support, and she can handle the pressure. Women are strong. They're resilient. They're powerful. But if they don't feel supported, then they'll stop, and they'll let it cave in on them. But as long as they feel that support underneath their feet, someone's underneath them saying, I got you, and I believe in you, keep going, then they can find that rise and that confidence within them to keep going.
Wow. I want to stand up and applaud right now. That is profound. Okay. And there's something I want to point out. So what you're doing, you're kind of filling the gap, Susan, for the millions and millions of moms that are just giving it their all every day and sometimes don't feel as appreciated. As you pointed out, moms are so resilient, but if they don't feel that support, and it's probably the same for kids and for dads, if we don't feel support, then it's hard to just keep giving it our all.
Sure.
What do we do if we are that person? We can talk about the mom first. If the mom feels if she is underappreciated, honest, guys, that's often the case.
Yeah.
If she is underappreciated, how does she have anything that she can do to actually change that dynamic?
No question. She has more power than she gives herself credit for. And one of the things I find myself saying in mentoring session after mentoring session is, your voice matters. And so often we like to talk about love being kind and sweet. That's the sweet things we do, like we bake the cookies, or we have the cake, or we create meals, or we create this beautiful home for our families. That's love. And I say love is that, and love is also honest, and love is also true. So if you're not feeling the support you need, you need to let the family know. Support to me looks like, guys, I have to go in here and be on the phone for the next 20 minutes. And I need for you all to take care of this activity. For mine, I'm like, hey, guys, I need this laundry folded and put away. And I need these dishes cleaned. When I come out, those things are done, then we can move on to the next activity. But that's what you guys can do to support me. And that's what it looks like for you to say, Mom, I believe in you. It's not just you saying that and then sitting on the couch playing with your iPod or getting on a tablet, and then I come out and all these activities still need to happen. I need you all to be with me in this, and this is exactly what I need. And so often as women, sometimes we feel guilty, like, I don't want to have the kids doing all those things. I want them to enjoy their childhood. But recognize we're the ones that taught our children that work was no fun. Stop doing that. Work is contribution. Work is being in participation to make things happen. Let our children be contributors so that they can grow up and continue that as a lifelong habit.
Wow. You're getting real personal here, Susan. You're stepping on some toes here. I got to tell you, Susan, there's going to be a lot of folk that are like, hold on now. It rings true.
Yes.
It rings very true. I mean, the fact all these dynamic and hardworking moms are out there are hardworking mm-hmm. because somebody taught them, somebody modeled for them, yes. somebody showed them how to work hard. They were taught how to be contributors.
No question. I teach my children that there are two ways that we can be in this world. We can be producers and we can be consumers. When we're learning and we're stepping into something new, we're consuming information. We're taking it all in, right? But there comes a point when you're full and you produce something, right? When you eat food, you get energy, you go out and you expel that energy in some direction. So I say, if you're learning and you're growing, consume, learn, grow. But at some point, you need to turn around and be a producer. That's your give back moment. I'm giving back to those behind me who haven't learned it yet. I'm participating in and contributing to others who are off and running and they need support and they need encouragement. But in some way, don't always be a consumer, because at some point you become a leech. You begin to just pull and pull, and it's always me, me, me. But what about turning that around and becoming about someone else, supporting someone else, giving back to someone else? Our kids, our families, ourselves, we're too talented. We have too many gifts within us for us to always be in me and consumption mode. It's time to turn it around. And that's what I love about entrepreneurs, because they're turning it around and they're giving and they're sharing and they're pouring out into other people's lives and making this world a better place.
Man, we're going to need 2 hours for this conversation, Susan. I'm getting fired up over here. Okay, so Susan, I want to bring us dads into the conversation right now. And we do know, we acknowledge that dads do need support as well. Everybody in the family unit does. But let's talk a little bit more about mom. How can us dads, how can I kind of routinely, you know, not just when I'm feeling good, mm-hmm. not just when I remember, how can I routinely show my wife that appreciation?
Mm. First of all, recognize that that is like music to our ears, to have someone encourage us.
Wow.
But it does not look like someone fixing us.
Ooh.
So if you hear our troubles, just hear them. Don't fix them.
Oh, that's hard, Susan. That's hard.
Remember, we are powerful, creative beings. But sometimes we process verbally. That processing verbally is not a weakness. It's not confusion. It's merely our process in figuring it out.
Mm.
And if you hear that as confusion and you think, oh, gee, man, that's just a mess. Let me fix that.
Let me swoop on in
there
and save her real quick.
There we go. That it will create a wall where you will never truly get to her heart, because she doesn't trust that you'll listen.
Wow. Man, you know what I need, Susan? I need a Susan C app on my phone. And every time my wife says something to me, I need the app just to tell me what to do. I'm not going to ask Siri. I'm going to ask Susan. Susan, what should I do right now?
Oh, I love that idea.
Susan, shut up. Just listen. Like, okay, bet. I got it.
Bite your lip. Yes. Mm-hmm. Practice pausing.
Pausing.
When she says a statement, oh, my gosh, I just don't even know. I've had a hard day today and the kids, this and that. And she's going, you just pause. Then see, will she say another statement, or will she be looking like, is he listening to me? And when you're looking at her, you can say, I'm listening. Wow, how powerful is that? That's all you said. I'm listening. Do you think you'll have her full attention?
Man, my wife is going to love me after this call.
She's going to be a happy man because you are getting that wife. She's like, he's listening to me.
Yeah.
That will transform any relationship if we could all just be 5% better at listening.
Wow. Okay. Okay, I can do this, Susan. I can do this. Listen, I'm not going to keep you for the entire afternoon. We do have to let you get back to those 7 wonderful kids. But are the 2 kids still on the road with the car broken down, by the way?
I got one home and one still in class. He'll be out of class soon.
All right, people. Y'all are seeing how Susan does this live and direct. My goodness, this is so impressive. Okay, Susan, we're going to let you go, but not before we put you through the lightning round. Are you ready for the lightning round?
I'm ready. Bring it.
We're going back to your childhood on this one. Okay, so Susan, growing up, who was your favorite superhero?
Oh, man. Gotta be Wonder Woman, right? Like
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that belt. Come on. And those cuffs. Like, she could just handle business. I loved it.
All right. Love that. What about your favorite TV show as a kid?
Gosh, I had so many. That was, I watched way too much TV. But I really loved Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I like that. All right. Now, you didn't come from a family of 7 kids, but despite that, you did have some great family traditions. What was your favorite family tradition?
I could count on my parents, no matter the weather, no matter whatever else was going on, every Sunday we went to church. We didn't miss it. And that created such a stability in my life that I still carry to this day. It's very foundational, a part of who I am. And I appreciate that the most of anything they did is that they took me to church every week.
Thank you for sharing that. Susan, childhood wasn't all rosy, so just like the rest of us, you had some embarrassing moments. Can you share one of those embarrassing moments with us?
Yes, I can remember when we moved to the South. We moved to Florida, and I got introduced to fire ants. I don't know if anybody
met
those. I had never met a fire ant. I had no clue what that was. But I remember sitting down on the playground, and I was – it had to have been within my first few days at this new school. You know, the very thing.
No kid.
Come on. And I sit down on the playground to tie my shoe on the edge of the playground. And before I know it, it feels like my body is on fire.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And I proceed to strip out.
Oh, my gosh. No. No.
I'm pulling off jacket. I'm pulling down shirt. I mean, it's getting real out here because I have no clue what's on me. I just know I feel like I'm on fire. And I have a teacher run over and just kind of like wrap their jacket around me like, hello, like not that. But they were everywhere. I mean, they were all in my clothes, in my pockets. I had ants everywhere on me.
Wow.
I still remember that moment. Yes.
I don't think I can forget that moment either. Mm-hmm. That is trauma. Yes. Man, I'm sorry. I'm going to give you a hug. Each other. I'll give you a hug for the fire ants. I know it's been a few years. So aside from that, Susan, what was maybe – did you ever have those struggles either in your tween years or your teenage years, you know, whether it was awkwardness or bullying or peer pressure? Did you have any struggles you had to deal with?
Yes, no question about that. And, my parents worked civil service for the military, but we still moved every 4 years. And so I was – consistently in new schools, in new homes, in new cities, in new states. And that newness takes a toll. I had this dream in my head that the kids that I went to elementary school with, that we'd be lifelong friends. And yet I kept moving and having to make new friends and consistently being the new girl, the one nobody knew. friendships were already established, especially as I started to get into junior high and high school, right? Like the girls had already formed their friendships and I was on the outside trying to break into those circles, trying to create connection and relationships so that I didn't feel so alone. I'm already in a new city and I don't know everything, and yet now I need to try to find and create friendships. And so all of that newness was just creating a cycle of broken relationship in my life where I was with these people for 2-3 years and then our family would move again. So just as we finally get to this place of being really calling ourselves friends, it would be time for me to leave.
Wow. That's tough. That's really tough.
It is. Mm.
Okay. Well, we're not going to end on that downer. So I want to talk about maybe something that your parents, Susan, did that you really liked and you have incorporated into your parenting.
Mm-hmm. So many things. But one thing that I loved is that my mom was an entrepreneur.
Ah.
And so I grew up working in my mom's business. She had a catering business that she opened twice. And I was able to work with her, go in, sometimes work behind the counter, but I was definitely, you know, working on cleaning dishes, sweeping floors, and wiping down walls. Like, I definitely had that job down pat. And I loved seeing her light up in spite of the long days and the long hours. She would still light up when it came talking about her business. And I was inspired by that.
Wow.
So inspired by that. And I love the support that I got to watch my dad give to her, because he's not entrepreneurial. He was great in his job. He worked for the government. He did that all the way through to retirement. He was good with that. He didn't want the risk and the drama around entrepreneurship. He was like, no, thank you. I'm not interested in that. But he created the consistency in the home. So there was no issue of the bills or any of that being paid, because his job covered that, which freed mom to go out and pursue the passions in her heart. Because I believe that mom and dad somewhere, even though I never heard them have this conversation, had the same conversation my husband and I have had with each other. We've looked each other in the eye and we've said, when we're old and we're sitting on the front porch in our rocking chair and we look over at each other, I don't ever want you to look at me and say, I regret that I didn't try this.
Mm.
So go for it, whatever that is for you. Go for it. And I believe that somewhere, even though I can't prove it, I believe they had that conversation, and dad was willing to let mom go for it.
Mm. The rocking chair moment. I've never thought of that before.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And as entrepreneurs, we all know some of us are in dual entrepreneur households.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I have gone through some years when we've done that. Right now, she is in a corporate job. She is fantastic at it. And she does offer us, you know, the insurance and the, you know, that level of stability.
Yeah.
So that we crazy entrepreneurs can go out there, try stuff, fail, learn, get better. So that really, really is impactful. But I love that picture that you've painted of sitting in that those rocking chairs. And not having those regrets that if only I had done this. If only.
That's why in my bio I have, you know, it's a wild adventure. Yeah, it's just that. Let's enjoy every hill and every valley, because they both come together, but they all create a tapestry experience of adventure in our lives. Let's all be about embracing that. Let's live intentionally in the moment. Let's keep building family connection, and let's keep rising above the noise, because our family deserves it.
You should write Hallmark cards. Susan, you talk good. You talk good. Can I say that? Is that a thing?
It works for me. Totally works for me.
Yes, Susan, you talk good. Do you write books? Do you have any books out on any of these topics?
I do. I have a core values guide that I wrote on my website that people can go check out if they go to SusanC.com. That's Susan, SEAY.com. And I'm also in the midst of writing a book called The Intentional Parent, which will be coming out the beginning of next year.
Love it, love it, love it. Honestly, I think I just got a free 30 minutes of therapy, both marriage and parental. I don't know if Susan knew she was going to do that, so that's amazing. Susan thought she was going to get away without answering the time capsule question. She's not going to do that. So, Susan, we got one more question
Fantastic.
For you. And it's
a, okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready? Okay. So, Susan, let's say it is 20, 30 years from now. So your kids are grown. They're out of the house. They're happily married. They've got their own little dynamic Susan C's running around, either boys or girls. They're doing great. Mm. They're going to be listening to this audio, this time capsule, in 2045, so 30 years from now. What would you like to say to them, Susan, about this period in their lives? Why you did the things you did, why you and your husband made the decisions you made, the sacrifices, the punishment, the consequences, the love, everything. Talk to them right now. What do you want them to hear?
If they know anything about their mama, and they know a lot, they know that if there's anything that's true for me, it's that my heart's desire is to stay faithful to the call that's on my life and to encourage the people that are around me to do the same thing. So I say to them, as they're raising their family, to stay faithful to the call that's within them, to stay faithful to living true to the gifts and the talents that they've been so blessed with, and use those to make this world a better place and encourage everyone that they're connected to do the same thing. And if we all lift together, we all seek to make this world a better place, it will be.
You guys heard it here. Susan C., mom mentor, amazing mother of seven. Oh, let's be real. She's not just a mom mentor. She just mentored me, too. So we're gonna add mom and dad mentor. Okay, we're gifting you that. Susan, this has been profound, amazing. I got to go give my wife a hug, tell her I love her.
I love that. Yes, that is the right thing to do.
No, honestly, this is really, really good stuff. We've got to have you back. I hope you will do us the honor of coming back after your book is out, because we would like some.
That would be perfect. I would actually love that.
Okay, perfect. Folks, this has been the Bravepreneur Parents Academy. Thank you for sharing this half hour with us today. Rewind this one, take some notes, and go put it into action. Until tomorrow, up, up, and away!
Thanks for supporting my dad's show. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to iTunes. He said hot chocolate is for closers. If you don't subscribe, I don't get hot chocolate. I love hot chocolate.
Fear not. Although this chapter of Bravepreneur Parents Academy has come to its conclusion, we have many more adventures for you and your brave little heroes. Head over to bravequest.me for access to the Brave Quest Journal, an interactive activity playbook that rewards your little ones with points for accomplishing tasks that build character and unleash your child's inner superhero all before bedtime. We look forward to having you join us for more adventures next time on Bravepreneur Parents Academy.